Good morning, family. Turn to somebody to your left or right and just encourage them with something. Encourage them. Come on. Encourage each other. I like your earrings or your eyes look good or... Encourage them with something. Hello, Becky. You see, it's easier to encourage somebody than it is to criticize. We know that we use less muscles of our face when we smile than when we frown. So if you want to work less, then just smile, and your face will have less to do. Hallelujah. It's my privilege this morning once again to share the Word of God with you. I want to start off by asking a question and then read a scripture verse just to lay the foundation. I want to ask you this morning to think about your position in relation to God. In other words, if you think of God, where is He and where are you? Just think about that right there, literally where you sit. Most of us have an understanding that God is somewhere far off, isn't it? Or God is somewhere up there. How many of you really think that right now God is sitting closer to you than the person sitting next to you? How many of you actually thought that? Really? Okay, this church is a lot more spiritual than I gave it credit for. Okay, well, that's it. I'm done preaching. You can go home now. I've got nothing to say. I want to speak to you this morning. This morning's message is called He Who Is Alongside, and a little bit further into the message, I'll explain to you why it's so real to me, because something that happened in my life. The scripture verse I'm going to read is John 14 and verse 26. Jesus says, but the Helper, everybody say Helper or Comforter, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So there's a promise from Jesus that He's going to send a helper. Some translations say a comforter to come alongside us. And as I said, this message is called He Who Is Alongside. Most people picture God somewhere far off. You picture God in heaven and we are here in earth instead of the presence of God. Now, folks, whether we feel it with our flesh, whether you sense it in the spirit, whether you understand it with your mind, it doesn't change the fact that God is omnipresent. Because if you're a believing Christian, if you believe that everything in the Bible is the inspired, infallible, indelible Word of God. Inspired, that means it comes from God through the Holy Spirit. Indelible, that means it can't be deleted or erased. And infallible means that it has no fault. If you believe that in the Bible and that of the Bible to be true, the Bible says that God is omnipresent. So picture this. Imagine yourself a drop of water. And somebody takes you and drops you in the ocean. You can never, ever be separated from that ocean again. They can't get you out and find you. You can't distance yourself from the ocean because you're part of the ocean. You're in the ocean and the ocean is in you. And that's what the presence of God is like. And I believe it's important this morning. You say, well, Mozzie, what is the relevance of that? It's the 21st of May, 2023. How is it going to affect my day-to-day life? Well, we see when we go through the trials and the tribulations and the struggles, it's very, very easy to quickly forget where God is in this whole thing. So most people have this idea that God is somewhere far off and God is closer than we can ever, ever imagine. The word helper and comforter in the Greek translation means parakletos, and it means literally this. It means someone who is called to come alongside someone else. So when Jesus says, He says this, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, the Holy Spirit has been called to come alongside you. And then, when you get born again, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. He's inside of you. And then when you get baptized in the Spirit, you get full to overflowing with a person of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happens. So Jesus has said the Father is going to send a helper to come and comfort us. And the word helper and the comforter we know in the Greek is parakletos. It's somebody that... somebody to come alongside us. I want to say that I want to encourage you with this morning. Every time we feel that we're at our worst and we are most down is when we must remember that the Holy Spirit is alongside us. And if we'll allow Him, we can only fall as far as God's arms. So here's something that might be a strange concept to you. I sin from time to time. Okay. So there was a particular time when I was reveling in my sin. And the Holy Spirit started speaking into my heart. And I was like, you know, you feel convicted. If you love the Lord, you have repentance, not because you're caught out, but... happened. Let's stay focused on the Lord. Because he speaks to you and it convicts your heart, not because you're sorry you've been caught out, but because you love the Lord and you don't want to grieve God's heart. And I was thinking about what I was doing and where my mind was, where my heart was. And you know, if you've been in that place, you feel you're just not yourself. And I asked the Lord, like, Lord, you know, where are you in all of this? And I just sensed the Lord say, right here, my son. You see, oftentimes we think of the Lord's presence when a time of worship and the music is great and you're enjoying the music and you're just focusing on the Lord and you think, oh, well, I'm enjoying the Lord's presence there. But what about the times when you're at your very, very worst? I'm not talking about when you're feeling down, but just place yourself in my shoes for a moment where you are flat out sinning. Where's God? Right there. Because the Holy Spirit comes alongside us to help us. And He's our greatest cheerleader. So if we let Him, when we stumble, we can only fall as far as God's arms. Deuteronomy 33 and verse 27. It says this, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you. Now, what is it with men with technology this morning? We're challenges with the sound. This thing is giving me all sorts of hooters here. I don't know what it's doing here. All sorts of adverts. And it says, the eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Underneath. Why are they underneath? Ready to catch you when you stumble. Ready to catch you when you're unstable. Ready to catch you when you fall. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and He will say, destroy. Psalm 37, verse 23 to 24. The steps of a good man, everybody say good man. That's who it is. Okay? The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord and He delights in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with His hand. My brother, my sister, let's trust the Holy Spirit this morning to comfort us with this revelation that God is alongside, not some distant, abstract being that you don't understand. Then you get an oak talking to you for half an hour on a Sunday. You don't understand what he's saying about this God that you don't understand. But it's somebody that is alongside you, close, close, close. Okay? So, people have described the name of God like this. The name of God, the traditional Jewish people and the Hebrews, etc., considered his name so holy that it could not be spoken out in its entirety. So it was like abbreviated. And it's YHWH. It's like our breath. So simply, the name of God, you call in the name of God by simply breathing. Yahweh, the name of God. So from life's first cry to life's last breath, the name of the Lord on our lips. If you've seen the delivery of a child, spank the child's bottom to get that child to grab first grasp of air. and then it screams its lungs out. And then you breathe your last, the name of the Lord, on your lips from first breath to last breath in your life. The Lord upholds us with his hand. Most of you have probably seen this sometime in your life, heard it referred to, the Footprints poem. And I just want to read it to us this morning. Can it come up there? There we go. One night a man had a dream. He dreamed he was walking along the beach with the Lord, and across the sky flashed scenes from his life. For each scene, he noticed two sets of footprints in the sand. One belonged to him and the other to the Lord. And when the last scene of his life was flashed before him, he looked back at the footprints in the sand. He noticed that many times along the path of his life, there was only one set of footprints. He also noticed that it happened at the very lowest and saddest times in his life. And this really bothered him, and he questioned the Lord about it. He said, "Lord, you said that once I decided to follow you, you'd walk with me all the way. But I've noticed that during the most troublesome times in my life, there's only one set of footprints. I don't understand why, when I needed you most, you would leave me." And the Lord replied, "My precious, precious child, I love you, and I would never leave you. During your times of trials and suffering, when you see only one set of footprints, it was then that I carried you." I think that the importance of that is to understand how close God is in those difficult times. The Holy Spirit is alongside us. When God wanted to create the plants, he spoke to the ground. When God wanted to create the celestial bodies, he spoke to the sky. When God wanted to create the fish and all the creatures in the sea, he spoke to the sea. When God wanted to create us, he spoke to himself. God addressed the source. God addressed the origin. In Genesis 1:26, the Bible says, he said, "Let us." Who's he speaking to? Jesus, the person of the Holy Spirit. "Let us make man in our image." You see, folks, that's our source. And I think we speak about going home to heaven one day. To heaven one day. Well, the scripture teaches that heaven's going to be here on earth. New heavens, new earth, here on earth. And oftentimes, the body of Christ is referred to the bride of Christ. Strictly speaking, correct interpretation is that the body of Christ is like the bride of Christ. Revelation teaches us that the bride of Christ is the new city of Jerusalem. That's the bride of Christ. But we are compared, we are like a bride, not the bride of Christ, to help you understand that. But so when you say you go home, as if you're going from where you're at somewhere else. But if you understand that God is present in your life, alongside, you are somebody that's going through a difficult time. You know, I feel so far from God. Well, what does the scripture say about us being far from God? God is intimately involved in the finest details of our lives. Intimately involved. Psalm 139, verse 1 to 8. "O Lord, you've examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts even when I am far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and you follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your Spirit." So Jesus says, the Father will send the Holy Spirit to come alongside you. The psalmist writes, "I can never escape from your Spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there." It's written "down to the grave" in the New Living Translation. In the New King James, it says, if I make my bed in hell. And hell is most certainly not the grave, and the grave is not the hell. We know that. But the point is this, that when you're at your worst, the Holy Spirit is alongside you. So I don't know what challenge you're going through now and what understanding you have of where the Lord is in relation to where you are at. I think the guy's name was Brother Lawrence. He's the author, wrote a book called Practice the Presence of Christ. So when you sit down at a table, do you imagine Jesus sitting down with you? When you sit in front of the television, do you imagine Jesus sitting alongside of you? When you're on the computer, looking at whatever websites, do you imagine Jesus sitting with you at the desk? When you're thinking about somebody, do you imagine Jesus knowing every single thought? When you're about to say something, do you think of God knowing what you're going to say even before you say it? And I'm trusting the Holy Spirit this morning to give us all a change of understanding of how close the Holy Spirit is to us. So that when we pray, it's not like you're going down on your knees, groveling here on earth, hoping that something's going to happen from heaven and somehow God is going to break through the heavens and make a difference in your daily life. But that you know, according to the Bible, according to the book of Ephesians chapter 2, that you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are with the Lord like that. So we can't get away from the Spirit of God. God's closeness to us reminds us of His unfailing love for us. Why would God choose intimacy with people? Now, the scripture speaks about the Word of God being like a two-edged sword. So there's two sides of it. In Habakkuk 1 and 13, I didn't give this to the guys, it says that God is of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look upon wickedness. So cannot look upon wickedness. So how does that, if God is close to us, Holy Spirit close to us, how is it that God can't look upon evil? How's that possible? And that's one of the questions that I've posed for the care group leaders in the notes. How's that possible? What makes that possible? Or should I say this? Who makes that possible? Who makes it possible? If God is so holy that He cannot look upon wickedness, where was this demonstrated? On the cross of Calvary. When Jesus became sin for us, what did, amongst other things, that He cried out on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? Did God forsake Jesus? Well, why did Jesus say that then? Think about it. He became sin. He didn't forsake His Son. He forsake the sin. Jesus became the sin on the cross. So if God is so holy that He cannot look upon sin, how can the Holy Spirit come alongside us? Exactly because of that. Because of what Jesus has done. Because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The Bible describes Jesus as the spotless Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, the one who is without sin. Why was He described like that? Because the traditions and the laws that were given down to them in terms of the sacrifices that they had to make for sin was like this. They had to look for a lamb, not just any lamb, a particular lamb. They had to inspect the lamb, make sure that it wasn't deformed, the one ear wasn't sticking this way and the other one that one, and the one eye looking this way and the other one. It had to be physically in perfect condition. They had to inspect that lamb. Then they had to slaughter that lamb. They had to take that lamb and sprinkle that lamb's blood on the altar. And the scripture says in the book of Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So sin cannot be forgiven unless something's blood has been spilt. And when Jesus cried on the cross, "It is finished," He spilt blood. Or shed on the cross for us. Several things happened. The veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. There was an earthquake. And the dead in Christ, those who were dead in Christ, rose from their graves and walked amongst the people. That's what happened. So when Jesus says, the Father will send the Helper, the Comforter, to come alongside you. How can this perfect, perfect, holy God come alongside us? How can this God be intimately close with us even when we're sinning? Because of the blood of Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus. So the blood of Jesus, or the blood of the Lamb, was sprinkled on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant. The mercy seat was the lid of the covenant. It had the two cherubs that were facing each other, their wings like this. And inside of the Ark of the Covenant was the ephod, the budding almond branch, and the Ten Commandments were inside. So the law, the requirements, that's the law, was inside. So when God looks at you today, through the blood of Jesus on the mercy seat covers the law. The law's not been abolished, it's been fulfilled to the last detail of the law. That's why this holy, perfect God can be intimately close to you. My brother, my sister, where you're at, whatever challenge you're facing, now I want to be really real and practical this morning. Right there where you're seated, according to your knowledge, what you know and understand, think about the last sin that you've committed. Just think about it. Don't tell anybody. Just think about it. Now picture Jesus sitting with you. Not busy with something else. Sitting with you. And the next step, literally looking at you. So you engaged in the sin, or you've just done it, or you're still busy with it. And Jesus is looking at you. What do you see? What do you sense? And what do you feel? If you feel guilt, if you feel shame, I want to encourage you this morning that Jesus Christ has paid the price for that. I want you this morning to literally give the Holy Spirit a moment or two to make that real to you. When the Bible says, you know, folks, let's just say that we don't believe the Bible. Are you with me this morning? A little exercise. We don't believe the Bible because depending on how you grew up, you were taught that the Bible is true and it was real, and you've come to some point in your life where you've made a decision. I choose to believe that this is real. Let's say you don't believe the Bible at all. It is documented fact, established by secular atheist scholars who don't believe there's a God, who don't believe the Bible. It is a documented fact that there was a time that somebody walked this earth who called himself Jesus. It is the most substantiated and supported writing in the history of mankind. So the whole Bible aside, what's been written about the Bible and the documents that they've used to form the canon of our scriptures from where we get our books of the Bible. Okay? It is a documented fact that there was a person called Jesus who walked this earth and he claimed to be God. Either he was completely mad off his rocker. Okay? You say, well, that's why he claimed to be God, or he was God. All right? You say, well, he was just, some people say he was just a good person. Good people don't claim to be God. So it's a documented fact. No, secular people even know that history shows that there was this man that walked this earth called Jesus. The second thing that's been established also, like I said, please try and set the Bible aside, your faith in the Bible aside. It is common fact that there was a tomb in which he was laying, which was then empty. There's at least six different sources in the scripture at the time that can take it back to as close as within a five-year period after the resurrection of Jesus, where it was written about his resurrection. And the Apostle Paul speaks about this in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, that which has been told to me and which has been written, I'm reminding you and telling you as it was told to me. It is guesstimated that that was approximately within a five-year period after the death and resurrection of Jesus. Not hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years afterwards, But as closely as that, people started writing about this. The next document, in fact, was that this tomb was now empty. It was now empty by secular atheist scholars, that there's document of facts that this tomb where this Jesus was laid was empty. So you say, well, what's all of this to do with anything, Mozzie? To help you understand that even if you choose not to believe the Bible is written about this man called Jesus who said he's the Son of God. You say, okay, well, why should we really, really believe in him? You say, well, he's risen from the dead. You say, well, so was Lazarus. So was the widow's boy raised by God through the prophet Elijah. It was also raised from the dead. Well, they were all raised from the dead by somebody else. Jesus, you could say, is God rose from the dead. Who rose him from the dead? God rose from the dead. It's that Jesus this morning that has said, the Father will send you a helper. He's going to send you the comforter, the one who is called to come alongside you. So take your mind back to that sin where you were at. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, the comforter, God. So God in his throne, Jesus at the right hand of the Father, and the person of the Holy Spirit. I know it's easier for us to try and imagine or picture what Jesus looked like because we've seen pictures of Jesus for many, many years. What a picture depicting Jesus. Let me just choose accurate words this morning. But what does the Holy Spirit look like? Well, we don't know. We're created in his image. But a picture of the person of the Holy Spirit coming alongside you and looking into your eyes. Even with guilt on your hands, a heart that's got bitterness or unforgiveness, and allow him to minister his love to you. The psalmist writes, no matter where you go, no matter where I go, you're there, Lord. You know my words, you know my thoughts. Allow the Holy Spirit to make that a reality to you this morning. Because, my brother, my sister, I'm not a prophet of doom. I'm more of a glass half full kind of guy than a half glass half empty kind of guy. So I'm positive and I'm optimistic and I know what God's going to do. And I'm looking forward to God doing more than he's ever done in our lives ever before. But you know what? The most difficult times that you've gone through up to now, it is probably going to get worse. Because that's the way the world is going. But at the same time, it's going to get better than it's ever been before. I want to summarize it like this by saying that the battles are going to be more intense and more fierce than ever before. But the victory and the breakthrough is going to be greater and bigger than ever before because the best is yet to come. God is not finished with us yet. God is not finished with you yet. He's not finished with South Africa yet. God's got a plan. Jesus is on his way. And it's in those difficult times that it has to be real to us, that it's not God up there somewhere and you down here on earth, but the one who is alongside. God is close to you. So there's no first-time visitors in this church this morning. So I want to, in a fair amount of confidence, I trust and believe that everybody's born again. You've all gotten to a place in your life where you've said, Jesus is Lord of my life, and I believe he's died. And he's risen from the grave again, and his blood was shed to pay the price for my sins. I want, as we all like that this morning, I want us to practically do business with God right there where we're seated. And I want you to take some time, a few moments. Don't be uncomfortable by the silence. Forget about who's sitting next to you, what you've got planned afterwards, what's waiting for you in the office or the workshop or at school or at home, the zinc full of dishes, the car wat stikkend is, die hekmotor wat nie werk nie, die swembad wat groen is, or whatever. Whatever the issues are, just forget that. And just spend time with a person of the Holy Spirit this morning. And I said all that stuff about all the proof that there is about this Jesus and his resurrection and the empty tomb to say this morning. Folks, it does not, whether you feel like it or not, is irrelevant. It doesn't affect the reality of who God is or not. Whether you can, you know, we say in Christian circles, oh, you can sense the presence of the Lord. Well, whether you can sense nothing but the cold, it doesn't change the reality that God has sent the Holy Spirit to come alongside us this morning. And when we sit here and we worship and we do what we do in the square meterage that we have at our disposal, do we practice the presence of Christ? It's like, Holy Spirit, you're here. You're here. So right there where you're seated, if it helps you focus on God to close your eyes, fine, you don't have to. What would you want to say to the Holy Spirit this morning? What would you want to say? I'd encourage you to give the Holy Spirit a few moments to speak to you. And picture the gaze of Jesus on your life. The Lord looking at you. And the Lord speaking a word into your heart. Just take a moment or two to thank the Holy Spirit for something, anything. And then take a moment to ask the Holy Spirit something. It can be something you're trusting God for, and a need that you have, or even for somebody else. Holy Spirit, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one that has given us new life, new birth in Christ Jesus. You're the one that was involved with creation from the very, very beginning. God, the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, we know you and declare that you are God's Son, that you're our Lord and our Savior. And God, we thank you that you have sent us a Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Helper, one to come alongside us. Lord, I pray that as we face whatever the future holds, the good times, the bad times, as we read in the Psalms that if we go to the heavens or even make our bed in hell, that even there you are present. I pray, Lord God, that your presence becomes a reality to us and that you give each one of us a new understanding like never before of how close you are to us. Lord, I pray for each one of us that we have renewed discernment and be able to discern and listen with our spirits to when you speak to us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I pray that we all learn to recognize your voice like never before, Lord Jesus. Lord, you said that your sheep hear your voice, you know them, and they follow you, Lord God. And recognize your voice. Help us, Lord God, to recognize your voice, Holy Spirit, when you speak. For every prayer that every person has prayed this morning, what we've asked you for, I thank you that your breakthrough will come in your time and the way that you choose fit to answer, Lord. In the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord, for every one of us this morning that we have a renewed intimacy with the person of the Holy Spirit like never before. We want to declare that. Thank you, Lord, that you're willing to come alongside us, even when we're at our worst. And we thank you for that, Lord. And as you've demonstrated your love for us, in our simple words, we want to say, God, we love you. Jesus Christ, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. Thank you, Lord. We bless you for that in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Folks, thank you for making the time to listen. Pray that God bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. God lift up his countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Have a Jesus-filled week and travel safely. Looking forward to seeing you same time, same place next week. Thank you.